Guess what? Culver's is coming to Kernersville. Stop by their grand opening on December 19th, 2022 at 1780 Pecan Lane. The first 50 guests will receive free pints of frozen custard each month for a year. That's right, be one of the first 50 guests on December 19th and receive a pint of your favorite custard each month for a year. Visit Culver's of Kernersville for your chance to win on December 19th, 1780 Pecan Lane in Kernersville, where they never compromise on quality.
In professional sports, a franchise player is an athlete who is not simply the best player on their team, but one that the team can build their franchise around for the foreseeable future.
Welcome, everyone, to the main event of TGIF. We are the franchise players, JP Mundy, along with Brian Stone. And an end-of-year edition, I guess. Because apparently this is a busy time of year.
Something like that.
My wife tells me that it's a busy time of year. Judging by all the packages arriving and the trees and there's lighting, I think this is an important time of year for a lot of folks. So, we're going to try to pack a lot into a small amount of time today. I don't know if you caught it last week, folks, but Ryan and I took the private jet up to Chapel Hill and got to cover the state championship game. And I'm going to have to, number one, apologize. Because I think this is all my fault. I know this surprises you. So I wore a suit.
Yeah.
To do the game. And I mean, you were dressed nicely. I tried to dress nicely. I wore my suit. It was the same suit I wore to East Forsyth State Softball Championship Series at Duke earlier in the year.
Ah.
Which East Forsyth lost, ultimately.
They did.
And as we know, Friday night, things didn't work out for Grimsley. And I'm starting to think it's my fault. So I'm issuing a formal apology to Alan Plaster and Ethan Albright and all the coaches because, it might have been me. But we did get a good meal. Our pregame meal was second to none.
That we did.
So shout out to Four Corners. And it was a good time except for the game itself. But there's one thing about the game itself and something that you said afterwards that I've been ruminating on. It kind of stunk to see that offense win the state title. Like, some of it was like a cool throwback to the old school. And logically, you should be able to, you know, it's a game of matchups, as Coach Beal would say. You know, it's a game of matchups, and that's what you got to do and win the state title. But, man, they didn't even attempt a forward pass. You thought they did at one point, but it was they tried one, and before they could get the pass away, Jamal Jarrett engulfed the quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with your sentiment. You had me mad, though, for about 3 days.
Well, I don't mean it as a knock on New Bern or those kids. They were well deserving of being state champions. They were the better team last Friday night. I don't know. I guess part of me just felt bad for Grimsley and how well they had played all season.
And that's fair. Because we had not seen really – we had seen people score on Grimsley for, say, a half.
Yep.
Weddington had their way. Offensively for a half. And it was just a tough situation around, but in no means, like Reidsville went down to another triple option team.
Yep.
Like, I think we're going to start to see a whole lot more of this. And I think, you know, for a while people got away from it because, you know, college recruiters allegedly don't recruit guys who are, you know, especially quarterbacks who are in a option system. But smaller schools, you have to deal with the personnel you're dealt.
Yep.
And Fritz Hessenthaler for the longest time over at Southeast Guilford, you know, they ran him out over there because he didn't have a splashy offense, but he won 7-8 games a year, is always in the playoffs when running the veer or the wing tee or whatever that was he was running. So, yeah, I guess our hats off, first of all. But, boy, did that get boring in the fourth quarter, except for Mr. Anderson. I just got tired of watching that offense be run.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely got redundant. You know, it's also frustrating when you're watching a team and they can't get off the field. It feels like at times they're starting to get the momentum, but they just can't get off field against that type of offense. So it also gets frustrating as well, and that's the point. So that's again another credit to that New Bern team.
The one thing that's different about this end of high school football season in North Carolina is there's a bunch of job postings, or there were.
Yeah.
There's always like assistants that are coming and going, but there are, you know, even before we got to Chapel Hill, we knew that we were going to have to fill things up, fill positions, especially in the CPC.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a couple of CPC positions filled today, they were filled on Thursday. Parkland has a new coach.
Yep.
And that's good. But we had a retirement. Are you aware of this?
I did not. I'm not aware of this, I don't think.
Aaron Beal has retired.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
The ncpreps.com forum's favorite son, Coach Aaron Beal, he must set a record. Every time a job in North Carolina came open for the last 3 years, his name was listed. And that is a credit to Mr. Beal. But he's stepping away from the grind that is being a high school football coach in North Carolina. And, you know, going to work in the private sector and spending more time with his family, and our hats are off to Coach Beal and his wife, the boys. You know, I'm sure they'll enjoy having dad around. I don't know if his wife's going to like, you know.
That remains to be seen.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm going to see how long Aaron can get away without watching film. But, you know, hats off to him. He did a great job. I think we talked for almost 2 hours the other night and reminiscing and that kind of thing. But he told me, I've got to go back and look at it, but there was some ridiculous amount of points allowed scored on his defense between September 29th of this year until the Huff game. And I think it was 17 points.
Well, he went out on a high note then.
He does not agree with that. But what he did, especially in the last two playoffs, I think he allowed one touchdown last year before getting to the Huff game. I think it was one touchdown. It was really ridiculous. And at one point this year, I forget, they had a particularly tough night, but Beal's defense stepped up and saved everything. And I remember texting Todd Willard and saying, perhaps don't fire your defensive coordinator this week. Because Aaron Beal got fired every week in Kernersville for about 8 years. That's just how that went.
Well, now he's got to figure out how to replace him.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be doing just fine. I won't share anything that I may have heard on that, but yeah, I think East Forsyth is going to be just fine. I know that there is word on the street that there's chaos in K Vegas. I was at K Vegas Tuesday night. I'll be there tonight for the Mount Tabor game. There's not chaos in K Vegas. But let me tell you a funny story, because I'm not going to, I don't want to do this broadcast without cutting on Todd Willard, because that's just what we do, Ryan. So Todd Willard finally, deservedly, gets a spot on the Shrine Bowl coaching staff.
Yep.
Kudos to Todd Willard. I find out Tuesday night, I asked around, I asked Drew Dull, baseball coach. I was like, what position group does Todd have? Ryan, he's the quarterback's coach for the North Carolina side. Guess who the North Carolina quarterback is?
I'm going to say it's Jalen Rayner.
It's Jalen Rayner. What exactly? That's like Jim Caldwell at one time being Peyton Manning's quarterback's coach. That's like being Peyton Manning or Tom Brady's quarterback's coach, which is, the limit to that is, how would you like your coffee this morning, Mr. Brady? What the heck has Todd been doing all week? I'm assuming that someone of his stature is down there with the rest of the coaches over at the Ritz-Carlton, Spartanburg, or whatever it is, and that, you know, everybody else is working hard to try to put together some basic game plan. What is he doing?
He's been taking some pictures, I've seen.
Oh, I know he's been taking pictures. He took pictures of Jalen Ray, or no, Javonte Connor playing the piano.
Yes. It's
tight end.
Yeah.
Life must be good. It must be good to be Todd Willard. But
speaking of Javonte Connor, he had an interesting visitor earlier this week. Mr. Kiffin was in town.
Well, the Kiffin lane was in train town. Was here.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't know. He used to coach my Vols, and now that Josh Heupel's there, I'm glad Josh Heupel's there, but I was so disappointed when he wasn't there. I'm a Lane Kiffin offense fan.
Yeah.
And I think Javonte is going to be announcing. He's going to be signing his letter of intent, I think, on the 21st. I could be wrong on that, but he's gonna be an Ole Miss Rebel, and I am sure Lane can't wait to get somebody like Javonte down there. Javonte's got great hands, can catch, and can also run over dudes. So, shout out to Javonte and all the area athletes, actually, who are going to be signing national letters of intent. We've got a lot of guys that we've covered, once again, who, once school ends in next week.
Yeah.
That's it. Early signing. They're gone.
Yeah. Spring football.
Spring football. I mean, we're Jalen Rayner, for one, is, and also his buddy Javonte, a week away from being college students, basically.
Yeah. Life's about to get really different for those guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say that, you know, we know a lot of these area coaches, and they are very well prepared for what's next.
Yeah.
And, it's still going to be like drinking from a fire hose, but, you know, we wish them all very luck. Speaking of players who are about to drink from a fire hose, I don't know if you heard, but there's a new coach on the western side of Forsyth County.
I can't believe it's taken you this long to get to this.
It's been consuming my thoughts for 3 weeks, and you know this.
that's why I said I can't believe it's taken you this long to get here.
Because I was accused of being the PR guy for West Forsyth High School, which hurts.
you were certainly the PR guy for this hiring. There's no question.
And it's because, and I'll tell you why, and I'll tell the public why. I grew up in Clemens, North Carolina. I did not attend West Forsyth High School for a lot of reasons, all of them bad reasons in hindsight, and I should have gone to West. But I am a proud graduate of Bishop McGinnis High School. Go Villains. Fine. I still should have gone to West, like all my friends did. So even though I didn't go there, I understand how important that school is to the community around here. I live 2 miles from the school, and I understand the nuances of West Forsyth. And when that job came open after 15 years, there was really, I could maybe two guys I could think of that fit. And I didn't say that doesn't mean there are two great coaches that could succeed at West. I'm talking about fit.
Yeah.
But it's not often you get the perfect candidate. And everybody has been blowing sunshine on Big Kev this week. We'll do it one last time. Kevin Wallace is the right guy for West Forsyth. And he was the right guy at Northwest to take over after Jerry Rolfes left. Yep. But he has stepped into a situation that is already good and is ready and welcoming for somebody to even take it to the next level, just like Adrian Snow said in his farewell address. I don't know if you caught that or not on the video. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see some of the lifers over at West Forsyth the first time Wallace's offense does one of his things.
It's certainly going to be a different offense. There's no question about that.
Prayers up, Burt Rice, who is a fine young man and is about to become a finer young quarterback. Everybody in that quarterback room, it is a competition. It always will be. But everybody in that quarterback room is about to get better, whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
But thankfully, Burt Rice and a couple of the other guys on there have made their name as being unflappable and being coachable. But Mr. Rice, weight room first. He already told you yesterday. Y'all going to the weight room as soon as he gets back from his vacation. And then, oh my gosh, it is going to look so different on offense. But they're going to, but, and when you combine it with the defense that West Forsyth is known for playing, which is not going to change, I don't think that's going to, but I mean, I saw snippets of what he told the parents yesterday. They're still going to be physical and aggressive.
Yeah.
But when he runs his BS, that's the best way to put it. He's still the only coach, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're a West Forsyth parent or West Forsyth fan who doesn't know anything about Kevin Wallace, I did a game at Northwest Guilford this past season, and I said the words, "I have never seen that before in a football game," four different times in one game. It's ridiculous. He's a mad scientist. He might be a witch. And his best buddy, Eric Westberg, is the same thing. Like these guys, if they ran four verts on the 1-inch line going in, I would not be surprised. I would not bat an eye.
I think those two are probably happy that they're not having to coach against each other anymore.
Yeah, but I think it messes up their Friday nights at the moment. They got to find a new Friday night rendezvous because that's not going to happen. Because that is the ultimate football bromance.
Yeah, I guess they're going to have to figure something else out.
Yeah, speaking of the ultimate football bromance, a man and his betting money coming up on the franchise player. I want to find out where we stand as we head into the latter part of the NFL season and bowl season beginning tonight. That's right. I want to
begin. It began today. It's already begun.
Did I miss one one already?
They're both for this afternoon, actually. Second game might be finishing right now, not looking at the TV. But yeah.
Well, I want to find out where the future Ryan Stone's college fund is going this weekend. Stone Cold Locks coming up next on the Franchise Players.
In professional sports, a franchise player is an athlete who is not simply the best player on their team, but one that the team can build their franchise around for the foreseeable future.
Welcome back to the Franchise Players. Jason Mundy along with Ryan Stone. Did you make any money last weekend?
On the college basketball front, for the first Saturday that I bet, I went 3-0-1, so it went really well there. The NFL was 4-4, so it was right there dead even on the NFL. But overall, when you combine the two sports, yeah, made some money last weekend.
Are you starting to get a sense from the different research sites that you go to, are you starting to get some clarity on how you're going to approach the December 31st college football playoff games yet?
Oh, those bets have already been made.
Now, okay, all right, hold on a second. Now, the folks who listen to this show know that we've established that you just don't throw darts and your money at certain lines. What in the world have you put down already for the college football playoff? It's December 16th.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of times, not the opening line, but within the next day or two that line comes out, a lot of times people have already bet those lines. So lines are already kind of at what they're going to be. So when it's this far in advance and the line is already set, you can go ahead and kind of make the wager.
Okay. So you took Georgia's first half.
I actually haven't taken Georgia's first half yet. I did take their game line at -6.5. First half might not be a terrible idea either, but I haven't done that yet.
That's a good play, that -6. That's a great play.
I'm on as much as I've loved TCU this season, I'm on Michigan -7.5. I think this is very similar to what we saw with Michigan, Georgia last season. In the trenches, TCU is not going to match up with Michigan.
No.
And I think they'll bully them. So I think Michigan will cover that -7.5 too.
Did it hurt your feelings a little bit to have to go against your Horned Frogs? Because they made you, like, they built the moat around Stone Estates.
They were certainly good to me. They were certainly good to me this season. There's no question about that.
I mean, Alabama turned on you once or twice, but TCU was very good to you this year.
That they were. They certainly were.
Who is your play? Who are your locks NFL-wise for this weekend? I got to hear this.
So Saturday night, since we've got Saturday games this week, it is supposed to snow in Buffalo for 3 days straight with I think 4 to 8 inches in the forecast. So there's expected to be over a foot of snow in Buffalo, with Miami and Tua coming to town. Tua already has not played well the last 2 weeks. So I'm on the under for Miami-Buffalo, I think under 44. I think that number will come down drastically as we get closer to game time tomorrow. So I think under 44 on that game on Saturday. Elsewhere in the NFL, when it comes to Sunday action, I like the Chargers -3 against the Titans, or -2.5 if you can get it. It's moved at some places. Tennessee has just kind of regressed badly. Ryan Tannehill and that offense outside of Derrick Henry just don't seem to have much rhythm. The Chargers, despite being banged up, have played pretty well the last couple weeks. So I think they're actually trending in the right direction. Eagles, I think, will blast the Bears at -8.5. I think that's an easy win for Philadelphia. They've been in terms of teams that have been really good to me this year, the Eagles have been one of those teams. And the other one, I hesitate a little bit because of the weather in New York. But it's the same thing. It's just two teams going in the opposite direction. The Lions have a ton of momentum right now. So I think the Lions +1.5 on the road at the Jets. I like Detroit there. And I like New England +1 at Las Vegas as well, because, again, two teams just trending in the opposite direction. Bill Belichick. Granted, career against the spread, Josh McDaniels is actually 2-0 as a head coach against Bill Belichick. One of those was in the preseason, though. But I just think defensively, New England is so much better than Las Vegas that I'll take the Patriots in that spot.
What about? God, I don't want to talk about this, but I feel like I have
to. I know where we're going.
I just really don't want to go there so hard. But what? Put your money down. How stressed am I going to be this weekend with that game?
What, Panthers Steelers?
You said it, not me. Yes.
I think you can make the case. I think if Kenny Pickett plays, I think you can make the case that the wrong team is favored there. I think the Panthers will have a better home crowd than we expected a couple weeks ago, but I still think the majority of people that probably bought tickets to that game already are Steelers fans. So there
will be a neutral site game.
There will be a big Steelers contingent at that game. If Kenny Pickett plays, I think Steelers plus 3 is a good play. Now, if he doesn't play, then I'm mashing the Panthers. I will let you in on a little secret. And our producer, Dez, may fall out of his chair. But earlier this week, I placed a futures bet on the Panthers to win the NFC South.
I hate you.
It was too good a value to pass up. They're a game back of Tampa Bay. They play them again. At plus, I think it was plus 400. It was worth throwing a little beer money on.
Okay. I understand the finances behind that. I understand the metrics that you used on that, and it's going to probably end up being it's going to end up being a good play, I think. But I haven't paid attention, and I've essentially, because of Desmond's giddiness, he has asked me to let him be a fan. People don't know this. The minute something goes bad for the Carolina Panthers on Sunday, Ryan, myself, or both of us, mostly me, gets on the group text and starts needling him. And we do so until he says, I'm going to eat this and shut off my phone. And then when they start doing well, I start overpraising them and it drives him crazy. But this weekend it's personal because I don't expect this version of the Steelers team. And I'm okay with this version of the Steelers losing games. I am not okay with the fact that a 5 or 6 win Carolina Panthers team will cause our producer to blow my phone up.
Well, they got to win.
Can they lose? Can the Panthers lose this Sunday and still win the division?
Well,
that's the best case scenario for me.
Well, yes, because Tampa has Cincinnati. Granted, it's in Tampa. I think Tampa will probably have a strong bounce back performance from what we saw last week, the beatdown they took in San Francisco. But it's entirely possible Tampa loses that game. I mean, Cincinnati's a 3.5-point favorite. The problem would be the Falcons and Saints play each other. Desmond Ridder's first start, so who really knows what to expect? So either way, like whoever wins that game, it could be an issue for Carolina if the Panthers lose, because Carolina would drop to 5-9. If the Falcons won, they would move to 6-8. And if Tampa lost, it would be a tie for first place.
Correct.
But Tampa would own the tiebreaker. If the Falcons lost, they would drop to 5-9, and the Saints would move up to 5-9. So you would have 3 5-9 teams behind whatever Tampa is, whether it's 7-7 or 6-8.
This is a bad movie.
It's one of those, yeah, it's one of those movies that it's like, it's bad, but it's somewhat entertaining. Like, if you've ever seen Crank with Jason Statham, it's not a good movie, but it's entertaining.
Okay, no, I don't watch Jason Statham movies because my wife loves Jason Statham. So I hate that guy.
I mean, you know, you're both bald.
Really?
You got that account.
I'm stressing out.
You got no hair to pull out.
It's all white now since I started working with you and Dez. I just can't. Maybe we need to have a guest on to teach me how to deal with crises such as this. Because, like I said, and I'm going on record here, because Dez likes to misremember stuff.
I think he likes to remember things how he likes to remember them. I don't think he actually misremembers.
Just like Gilkey said a couple weeks ago on the rundown, Desmond, you a hater. If it's not yours, you hate it. But I am not going to, it's not going to bother me if the Steelers lose. It's going to bother me to lose to Desmond's favorite team as poorly as I've treated him for 2 years. Maybe that's karma.
That's how it works out sometimes.
Maybe so. I'll just have to find the silver lining on it. And if you want to, you know. If you want to give me some karma too, folks, you know, tweet at me or something.
Now, Pittsburgh wins.
It's going to be hard for JP Mundy to be a gentleman. It really is, because the temptation is, you and I listen to a lot of different things. I listen to a lot of different takes, and I listen to different shows and stuff like that. You and I normally are pretty realistic about things. And we don't mind being wrong about stuff because we were wrong about Hubert, and Hubert managed to get it together for the NCAA tournament and then some, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Took care of February and March. So, and we're okay to acknowledge that. We handle things like that a little bit differently than our buddy Dez does. Dez starts forgetting stuff. Dez starts forgetting. Case in point, and he's going to hate us for this, but I don't care. Last year, he remembered us, our takes on Hubert very well, right? Like he
well, not really, not really, because I never really hated on Hubert that much.
But I we didn't give him any flowers either.
I said that I thought Wes would have been the better hire, but I understood the Hubert hire. That was literally the extent of my Hubert right. Davis criticism.
And then he injected that take with some HGH and remembered that really well. What he didn't seem to remember last year when he thought that if the Panthers could stay healthy, they would win the division and make a run in the playoffs.
Yes.
He seems forgot to have that. Forgot that.
He seems forgot to have forgotten that.
And he'll go on his show now and say, oh, I started believing, I retracted that after week three. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. So all I ask in this time, in this season, of forgiveness, reflection, joy, and mercy. Desmond and your fellow Panthers Nation, who you think constitutes a we, I hope you enjoy. If the Panthers win on Sunday, I hope it brings you joy. I hope you eat well. And I hope you and Panthers Nation, whatever that is, I hope that everyone is happy and healthy.
You know what, though? It's Desmond's season. As they say in Home Alone, it's the season of perpetual hope.
Don't make me do it.
Oh, I'm very proud of myself for that one.
Don't make me do it. You should be proud of yourself. But hope is a dangerous thing, Andy.
But it's the season for it. It's the
hope can drive a man insane. And with that, we'll take a break. Coming up next, we're going to make a naughty list. Just in case Santa hadn't gotten the 411 on some of y'all, we're going to make a naughty list coming up on the Franchise Players.
In professional sports, a franchise player is an athlete who is not simply the best player on their team, but one that the team can build their franchise around for the foreseeable future.
Players, Ryan Stone, my partner here with me, Buck Nasty, because it has to be Buck Nasty today, at least for these next 15 minutes or so. We're going to give Santa, or whoever is bringing the gifts of the season you celebrate. Everybody's got a list. It doesn't matter whether it's Festivus, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, if you're still at Halloween, you still got a list. Somebody who was given gifts has got a list. And they are considering whether you deserve a certain level of gift or not.
Very true.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it was like over at the Stone House, but the level of gifts sometimes was lowered depending on how poorly my brother and I acted. And with that in mind, we're going to add some people to the naughty list because I think too many people got a free pass this year.
All right.
I'm going to add, but we're also going to put some people on the nice list just in case Santa and his cronies have forgotten about them. Let's add first, and you can disagree with this if you want, but I am going to forget our last segment's discussion for a moment. Steve Wilkes is going on the nice list. Without
That's fair.
Question.
That's fair.
Bring him his extra money. Give him some money. Go ahead and hire him on and put him on the nice list. Agree with that? Are you good with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think 100% he belongs on the nice list.
All right. Let's see. Do you have anybody immediately to the top of your foot? Because you know me, I hate on everything. So who do you have to add to the naughty list?
The naughty list. well, I mean,
here comes Giselle.
There's, well, I mean, if this is, I've moved past Giselle.
Okay.
Moved past it. It's the season of forgiveness.
I thought it was the season of hope.
It's both. Christmas is the season of everything, evidently, if you listen to what everybody says. I think, well, I mean, Kanye is an obvious answer. Kyrie Irving.
Don't you think those two are at the top of Santa's naughty list, though?
One would think. one would think. I mean, we had some recent hip-hop news that would land somebody at the hip-hop naughty list.
And that's – let's go ahead and talk about it. Because and because we are – because there's a lot of obvious and not-so-obvious people that need to go on the naughty list. But Gunna, noted non-gangster.
Well.
Gunna. Who was indicted along with Young Thug in Atlanta for RICO charges. I'm doing this without notes, folks. This is how Ryan has affected my life. of 51 years. I know about all of this. Young Thug, Gunna walked out of jail on Thursday morning, having entered an offered plea of guilty to end his RICO case, and made a statement which is going to go down as the funniest statement ever in the history of hip hop and gangster rap, which was basically, as I posted on Twitter, I didn't say nothing. I swear I didn't snitch. Please don't shoot me. I didn't snitch. And you know he said something.
Oh, he had to have said something. They don't just commute RICO charges without getting something. It doesn't work like that. Also, there were, you know, I think I saw that Young Thug's sister said that Young Thug was sad that he took the plea. So obviously, there's something there.
And if Young Thug is sad, somebody's about to be dead. And we hope that in this season of forgiveness, that Gunna will be able to be safe. Now, let's put somebody else on the naughty list. I'm going to put the University of Louisville on the naughty list.
That's fair.
Because they just, I'm happy that you got your guy, Jeff Brom, coming home.
Yep.
And that's great. I wish nothing but success. Once again, I've said it on the show before, Louisville's great. Great campus, great facilities, pretty cool town. There's a great Hooters right across the bridge in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Great town. I hope they do well. That being said, it was a hoot that Coach Satt left for Cincy. And the fact they got to play each other in the bowl game.
Yep.
And the fact that you just now won your first basketball game of the season.
Against Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky. Congratulations.
It's really interesting that, you know, both those teams are playing each other, considering they're kind of in the same circumstance. I mean, except for one coach is going to the other, but both teams lost their head coach. It's rare you get that in bowl season. I'm surprised we don't get it more often, honestly. But it's got matched up with each other. And that should be a pretty fun bowl game, honestly.
You're about to get angry with me.
Why am I getting angry?
Because of the person I'm about to put on this naughty list. The quarterback of the UNC Tar Heels.
Oh!
Drake May is on the naughty list, and I'll tell you why.
Oh!
You float that your name's entering the transfer portal, and then all of a sudden your offensive coordinator takes the job at Wisconsin. And then coincidentally, right after that, a tweet goes out from you saying, I'm a Tar Heel for life, or whatever is it said. Bro.
I'm not sure I'd put him on the naughty list for that. I don't know that.
I would say it wasn't a savvy business decision.
Why? But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, why would he want the offensive coordinator of all people fired? Or gone?
Well,
not gone. Because the offense wasn't the problem.
Well, it ended up his last few games weren't exactly good.
They played a great defense in Clemson.
That's fine.
But NC State's defense wasn't a slouch.
They announced yesterday they get the offensive coordinator from UCF.
Which is a good hire.
That is a great hire.
I also think the hire of UNC offensive coordinator going to Wisconsin is a really good hire.
Here's another person that's going on my naughty list. You're not going to agree with this either. That's fine. Stanford. Hey, Stanford, did you call Dave Clawson? Granted, Dave is probably going to say no. But if you're Stanford or Northwestern, the very first person you call.
Did Stanford make a hire?
Yes.
Who did they hire? I missed that.
I have no idea. I think that's where Beal's going. I don't know what his name is. Ryan something or other.
I have no idea who they hired.
I'm sorry. Even if you're six beers in, you call Clawson first. Like, he gets it. He understands. He's also too smart for this business. But to not even now maybe they did. Maybe there was one of those back channel communications between agents to see if Dave was interested. If that happened, fine. You can go back on the nice list. But you hired Bob Smith. And that's your fault. That's ultimately your fault. Okay?
Oh, that's okay. They hired Sacramento State's head coach.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Wonderful. Okay. So let me ask you this. We've talked about the holiday season being the season of first hope, which will drive a man insane.
Perpetual hope. You got to get it.
Perpetual hope, yes.
That's a good
quote, right? You have said also that you have added that the holiday season is a season of forgiveness.
Yes.
But what we have not mentioned is that the holiday season is also a season of giving. And with that, I'd like to give my wishes for some select people.
Okay.
To Desmond Johnson. My wish, because I'm not going to use the word hope, Andy. My wish is that the Panthers, if it makes him happy, make the playoffs, even if they're under 500.
Are you wishing that Carolina basketball starts to get
I'm
on the right
track? I'm not
going to
start on that. I have been around here too long to think that Carolina's in trouble basketball-wise.
That's true.
But By the same token, Jonathan Stewart, I hope Santa Panther brings you a lump of coal and a CD of David Johnson's greatest hits. Matter of fact, I hope it's an 8-track.
Oh, no.
No, I'm still not over being called a loser. But that's okay.
Oh, no. He didn't call you directly a loser.
He didn't call me directly. He doesn't even know who I am. But it's the thought that counts. Desmond knew who I was. And Desmond has to live with himself, and that's punishment enough. God bless Jennifer and the kids. Are there any holiday wishes that you would like to express?
Oh, man.
There are many. A lot of them are expressed off air that we can't put on air.
I think my wish is that now we can't go back in time and correct this.
Go ahead.
Nonetheless, it's my wish is that Tom Brady would have stayed retired. Because this season has just been an absolute disaster.
Are you going to be okay? I really
I'm fine.
Think that,
I'm fine. I've been through. I've been through some hard times as a Buccaneers fan, but I'm fine. But I think, in hindsight, I would have rather started the rebuild this season as opposed to wasting this season. So that's one wish, and granted, that one can't come true, obviously, because can't go back in time.
I understand.
I think my next wish is going to involve the Charlotte Hornets.
All right, go ahead. Get this out of your system.
I wish for some competency of a basketball team for the Charlotte Hornets and a front office. And everybody.
Say it. Say what needs to be said.
Nobody likes this team.
No.
If they have Steve Clifford. Steve Clifford doesn't like this team. Michael Jordan doesn't like this team. There's no way in hell Mitch Kupchak or LaMelo Ball even likes this team.
Preach. It's
something
a mess.
Has to change.
I have an idea of what would help. I know what would help.
Everything. New GM.
New ownership. I didn't say that. New, it's the Christmas new, season.
New ownership wouldn't hurt, I don't think, at this point. I mean, how many chances do you get? They suck. And honestly, I saw somebody propose this on Twitter earlier today. And honestly, if somebody had said it last year at this time, I would have said they were crazy. But it's amazing how things can change in a year.
Yep.
Somebody proposed on Twitter earlier today that they should trade LaMelo Ball and get the peak value for him. And you know what? I don't necessarily love the idea because I like LaMelo Ball and he brings if there's anything entertaining about the Hornets, it is LaMelo Ball. But they're right. This is the peak value because he's got one more year after this year on his rookie contract. And the problem with waiting until after this season is teams are just going to say, especially teams like the Lakers or the Clippers, they're just going to say, we'll just wait it out. We'll just sign him for free. Or not free, but we'll sign him and not have to give anything up. Whereas if you trade him now, you could probably get more for him. So it isn't the worst thought, honestly.
It's not. And to round out our spirit of giving, forgiveness, and hope, I would like to close out today's episode of Franchise Players with one final wish. Because we're talking about Charlotte, I wish and I hope that maybe one day in the next few years, that Charlotte will once again have a football team playing in one of the big stadiums on championship Saturday or Friday night. Because they weren't there this past weekend. I looked around. We were there early. Nobody was there. But Grimsley was there. And Reedsville was there. And Grimsley sent four of y'all home. So I'm going to tell you my wish for you is some peace. Charlotte area football fans. I want you to get off the ncpreps.com forums. There is a 64-page thread of Charlotte people making fun of Grimsley for losing the final game. Not a good look, guys.
What a bunch of losers.
I don't know. I was going to try to address them and their concerns in person, but they were not in the Chapel Hill area during championship weekend. So I hope.
Well, they had no reason to be there. So, yeah. Also, you know, they don't come to road games. We've seen it. They weren't in Grimsley the last 4 weeks either.
Yeah. So I hope that one day soon. Who am I kidding? Nope. Charlotte High School football. You get a lump of coal this year. You talked your junk. You lost. The boys down in Greensboro took care of you. On behalf of the Triad this year, thank you ever so much for playing our game. And we'll see you next August. As for you guys, we'll see you soon. Enjoy your week. Try to follow Ryan's suggestions. Stay away from Tampa Bay. That's just me talking.
No, 100%.
Yeah. For our producer, Desmond Johnson, who's not going to like this episode. My partner, Ryan Stone, this is JP Mundy saying, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time on the Franchise Players.